the Esther, protection of God's people. The book of Esther divided into three parts. The first part is two parts. Chapter 1 to chapter 3, the danger of the Jews. One of the people plotted to destroy Jews. And he utilized the power of the king to give a decree and try to destroy the Jews. And then Esther, who God already placed her close to the king, he was a queen. And then when the danger become more obvious, Esther's relative confront her. The reason God give you this position is because of this opportunity that you can do something to save the Jews. But if you want to do it, God will use other people to save the Jews, but you will be perished because you did not fulfill what God wants you to do. So in the book of Esther, we can learn at least two things. The first thing is, if we want to God to walk with us, at least we have to fulfill our duty first. Yes, prayer is very, very important, right? Prayer is very important. But prayer doesn't mean after you finish prayer, you don't do anything. After prayer, we still have to do a lot of things we have to do. And then after we do our own part, then we run out our own means. And that time, God will do his own part. And the deliverance or salvation will come to us. Just like Moses, right? At that time, his mother do her best to save him. So Moses' mother hide him for how many months? 2-3 months. And the baby grown up and cry louder and louder. So the mother was unable to hide him anymore. Also, just put him in a river. And use something to throw over the river and put the baby Moses inside. That was what she can do to save the baby. But when the little baby was throw to Pharaoh's daughter, and the mother sent somebody to follow the baby. So when all Moses' mother had done all whatever she can do, and then it's God's part. God start to do the miracle. And then the Pharaoh's daughter discovers the baby, and then the baby's sister, right, asks the daughter, "I can find a babysitter for you," right? And God opened the heart of the Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses' mother was able to become, to take care of the baby until he grown up. The same thing, if we look into Olympic game, right? You have to do your best to prepare it. And then you can win the medal. The same thing, in God's work, if we do our best plus prayer, and whatever we cannot do, God can do his part. Just like we're preaching the gospel, right? After we pray a lot, we still have one more part to do. Invite a friend or go out to preach the gospel. When we do our part, and then God will open a way, we will see the true seeker come or converted or receiving the Holy Spirit. So Esther had done her own part. Right? She was willing to risk her life. And she prayed, fast and prayed. And then she went to see the king without the permission of king. So all she had done his part. And God moved the king. And as a fine favor from the king and save the whole nation. So these are the 2 points. First, we have to do our own part before God can intervene. The second, whatever God gives us, always there is a purpose there, a purpose attached. So we have to understand what is the purpose. God put me here, just like Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer. He understood the purpose. God put him in that position. So he had opportunity to approach the king and to ask king to help. So we have to understand everything, there's a purpose. So this is the end of the book of history. Now we are going to the next part, poetical part. There are four parts of the Old Testament. Let's review one more time. The law is the first 5 books. The historical, how many books? 12 books. Okay. And the poetical, that start from next book. What was the next book? The book of Job, and the book of Psalm, and then the book of Song of Solomon, the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, 5 books they call poetical. And the last one is prophetical, major and minor prophet. If we look into the 4 different sections, it seems have 4 different kind of main point. And each one is related tightly. So Bible is really a very well-organized book. It's not just randomly and you put all the 60 books together. God is the smartest God. When he moved the people to put all the 39 books together, there's always some reason there. The law related to the moral life. And the historical related to the national development and the life, so-called national development, is a country being built. The first king start from Saul, and until the last king was captured into Babylon. So this nation development and what kind of life do they live, and that's called historical. Then how about the political portion? It's related to the spiritual life of God's chosen people. And then how about prophetical? It's related to the future life as fulfilled in the Messiah. So prophetical actually is projecting the future of the Israelite. So these are the 4 portions of the Old Testament and focus on 4 different kind of main point. Now, we look into the poetical book to each other. We cannot go each book in depth, right? In 14 hours, how can you go through the whole Old Testament? So he's on here. A survey of the Old Testament, a very brief introduction of the Testament. The book of Job, he talk about the blessing through suffering. The book of Psalm, main point is praise God through prayer. And the book of Proverbs, it talk about prudence through the precept. Through the words of God. And the book of Ecclesiastes, verity, what is true in this life of vanity? What is the true value through the life of vanity? The life of vanity is true, but inside the life of vanity, there is something very meaningful which we have to pursue. That's called Ecclesiastes. And the Song of Solomon, it talks about the priest through the union, bride and bridegroom. And first we look into the next one, then we come back to this part and we briefly introduce each book. The first part, the period of poetical in Old Testament. The first one, the book of Job, is around 2000 BC. 2000 BC is how many years from now? 4,000 years from now, right? 4,000 is a long, long time, you know? 4,000, how many generations? It's a lot. And then David period, the book of Psalm. Psalm has how many chapters? 150, right? Out of 150, how many psalms composed by David? 73, almost 50%. And two composed by Solomon, and one composed by Moses. And then there are another two author of the psalm. So totally psalm is about five authors, right? 150 psalms. So the Solomon period, there are three books, Song of Solomon, and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And some people did the analysis very close to, not exactly. The Song of Solomon is talk about bride and bridegroom, right? And most of the common sense, you get married when you are young, right? Of course, 70, you can get married too. But so Song of Solomon is talk about the young man's love. And Proverbs, you talk about the daily life wisdom. So it's a middle-aged man's wisdom. Because you have to confront a lot of issues. When you are older, you're older men, not too many issues to confront. They are waiting to the last day to come. That's only. All right. And the Ecclesiastes is an older man's sorrow. It's about 950 here. So roughly, have this kind of idea. One is talk about young men, later on talk about middle-aged men. The third one is talk about old men's sorrow. How come sorrow? Vanity. Everything is vanity, right? Now, after we have this general idea, then we come back to these five books. Very briefly go through. Sometimes we even don't have time to open the Bible. The first one, the book of Job. Blessing through suffering. What kind of suffering did Job have? First suffering is the loss of property, right? House collapse, oxen, cattle, all die. The second is suffering is those, the children, right? All the children die. And when the property lost, you just feel lost, right? You can earn it back. When the children's life, you lose your children, that pain just cut into your heart, right? Because you love your children too much. Yeah. And then another suffering is physical suffering. Job, from top to the bottom, have sore. So he was so itchy and cannot be resolved. And another suffering is come from wife. When you are in tribulation, your wife is supposed to what? Comfort you, right? Don't worry, God is true. God will help you. Think positively, right? Everything has timing. Your timing suffering and your timing to be cured. And Job's wife say, you worship God to this point. Why don't you save God and die? Another kind of suffering. So the main point of Job is suffering. Okay. Now, related to suffering, there are a few issues we have to think about. Who decides the suffering? And why did Job suffer? That's from chapter 1 and chapter 2. And chapter 3 onwards, the friend of Job debate, try to convince Job the reason you suffer because of what? And Job was not convinced. So Job and the friend kept on debating until chapter 36. Yeah. Job was not convinced. Now, let's think about, huh? Job's three friends tried to convince him the reason today you're suffering because of what? One word. Because of sin. Yes. Oh, because of sin, so you suffer. Suffer is a result of sin, consequence of sin. Sin is a cause of suffering. But in the chapter 1, talk about Job was a person upright. Right? He departed from evil. He feared God. And in the middle part of Job, talk about Job had done a lot of good works. Right? He had done a lot of good works. Do a lot of charity work. He become, according to the Bible, right? He helped the widow. He helped the orphan. And he helped a weak one to regain the justice. So when Job walked through the street, everybody stand up. Why? A lot of people respect him. He was really a good person. And in the middle part of Job, talk about Job. If I am glad because I'm making money, then I feel very sorrow before God. Look, what does that mean? He tried to, he was so close to God, he don't want to be joyful because of a material gain. He only want to be joyful because of God. So he was a very good person. Then how come this kind of person suffer? So a lot of time we try to resolve the mystery of suffering. Right? We always think, oh, you must have sinned, so because of this, so something happened to you. Right. That's a very common reason we think about the reason of suffering. And the reason of suffering as a member and a non-member is a fundamental difference. The non-Christian atheist, they consider suffering sometimes what? A bad luck, coincidence. And any other reason? Bad luck, coincidence, this and that, right? Or without any explanation. But for a Christian, suffering is explainable, which means suffering must have the reason, must have the meaning. Because suffering has gone through the permission of God. If God permitted it to happen, there must have meaning. God will not let anything happen to us without meaning. So when we are in suffering, we have to think about why does God this happen to us, to me, right? And that's what the book of Job was talking about. And from chapter 1 to chapter 2, can anybody tell why did Job suffer? From chapter 1 and chapter 2. You read it now, probably a little bit too late. We'll go very quick. Chapter 1 and chapter 2. Why did Job suffer? Okay. Job suffered because of dialogue between God and Satan, the result of the dialogue between God and Satan. Okay. God was very, very proud about Job. You see, in the world, he was so good person, right? And he worshiped me. That was the glory of God. And the Satan tried to accuse Job. The reason today Job worship you so godly is because of what? One sentence. Because of prosperity. If you remove the prosperity and Job is going to forsake you and curse you and go his own way. Any problem with this kind of faith? Because of prosperity, so I worship God. I know because today I am so good because God bless me, so I worship God. What kind of problem this kind of faith? I worship God because I receive prosperity from God, so I worship Him as God. What's the problem with this kind of faith? Okay. Any other? Huh? Conditional, yes, conditional. Oh. If we worship God because of prosperity, right? Oh, I thank God because I have a good school, I'm healthy, I have a good family, I have this and that. So because of that, I worship God, right? If we believe worship God only because of reason, what will happen? Once God take away whatever we have now, then what? Bye-bye, right? Say goodbye to God. Oh. So a lot of people worship idol because of two reasons. Worship idol because of two reasons. Do you know what? First one, peace. The second one, prosperity. If they worship the idol and for a period of time, no peace, no prosperity, what did they do? They just threw away the idol. Sometimes dump into the trash can, sometimes dump into the river. And another person pick it up and wash it and clean and worship again. Oh. And then they purchase another idol. Any idol bring them peace and prosperity, they continue to worship that. So if we worship God in that kind of mentality, because I want to receive peace and prosperity, then our faith is conditional, very realistic. One day we probably will forsake God. So God allows Satan come to test Job to see what is the reason, what was the reason he suffered. Yeah, he worshiped God. So take away his children's life, take away his property, but Job still holds fast his faith. Right. And then the Satan confront God second time. The reason he worships you because you keep him healthy. Right? And God said, okay, you cannot take away his life. All right. And Satan come down again and start to attack Job and the whole body have soul. But at that moment, so terrible suffering, Job still hold home his faith. So Job worship God only one reason. What is the reason? Because God is great. That's all. Oh, not because I receive anything from God. Right? Because God is almighty. Right? He is so glorious. Oh, he's so great. Have you ever been the fan of anybody? You're a fan of what? Jeremy Lin. Or something like that, right? You watch, he plays the basketball, even purchased the ticket to watch in the stadium, right? How much did Jeremy Lin pay you? Nothing. If nothing, how come he spent so much time and spend money to watch him play the ball, basketball? Only because I admire him, that's all, right? You receive nothing from him. But Jeremy Lin is what? Is nothing but human being, but right now it's not so hard anymore. Yeah, because somebody more harder than him, so he was gradually being forgotten. We use this as an example. And God is so great God, and his greatness never changed. So once we understand God, we know the reason we worship God, because God is glorious. God is worshipable. God deserves my respect. God deserves my worship. That's all. Nothing more than that. And that kind of faith is called pure. Not because conditionally he give me something, I worship him. If it is conditionally, once he take away something, then finish. So this is the reason that Job suffered. And the end of the suffering, what? God blessed Job double portion. Everything double portion. Why? Because his faith even elevated one step higher. He worshiped God not because of any condition, but in the end, his worship God in very pure motive end up in receive more blessing. Yeah. So it doesn't mean that if I worship God with more pure motivation, God is not going to bless me. No. If we really worship God because very pure reason, then God even blesses more. So you look into Abraham, right? Abraham was a rich man too. So the end is double blessing. And his faith elevate. From theological faith to a faith of what? Experience. I heard about you, but now I behold you. I experience you. So this is the book of Job, a book discussion about suffering. Suffering has meaning inside. It's not totally because of sin. Sometimes it's because God wants his name to be glorified. If we suffer, we still give thanks to God, we still keep our own faith, then God's name will be glorified. The second part, talk about psalm, praise through prayer. You know, psalm is very inspirational. So a lot of time we read the psalm, it really can comfort our heart, can lift up our spirit, especially David. He wrote a lot of psalms in the time when he was in a great tribulation, at the time he was chasing around by Saul. At that time, her heart was so close to God, so she was able to write so beautiful psalms, so touching, to comfort a lot of people who is in desperation. So the most touching psalm actually wrote by David in the time of desperation. So he wrote 73 book of psalm. So a lot of psalm are talking about praise. And some people have divided this psalm into 4 or 5 sections. We don't go into detail. Which book is the longest one in the book of Psalm? Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 has one characteristic. Every verse, there is the words of God. Every verse, they talk about the words of God, this sentence. Or God's words, or God's precept. Psalm 119. And Psalm really can lift up our spirit. So a lot of time we read the book of Psalm, not only we are comforted, but also our heart can draw our heart closer to God. Then we look into one of the Psalms written by Solomon, 127. Psalm 127. From verse 1 to verse 2. Anybody read it? Okay, in these two verses, Solomon used how many times of vanity? Solomon mentioned how many times of van, V-A-I-N, in two verses. How many times? 3 times. You know, Solomon is a wise person, right? God gave him so wise. Even the wise person in the whole life, he experienced something van. Vain means what? You put a lot of effort, you don't have good result. I mean vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, they build in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. In vain means what? You put a lot of effort to build it, but it will not well built. You put a lot of effort to watch over a city, but you still cannot keep the city safe. So it means in vain. And then verse 2. In vain for you to raise up early to sit up late, eat the bread of sorrow. What does that mean? You work very hard, right? Try to earn a living for a family. Get up very early in the morning and sleep very late. But still, your heart filled with sorrow. How come? Because there is no blessing of God. If there is no blessing of God, hard working itself cannot guarantee your life will be a good ending. Hard working is good, but hard working itself cannot guarantee we have a happy life. We have a happy life, of course we have to work hard. But one thing very important is we are not rely on our own wisdom, we rely on the blessing of God. If we have a blessing of God plus our hard working, then we can enjoy our good result. We can enjoy our labor. We come back home, we can sleep very sweetly. Oh. So you do your best, and whatever we cannot do, just trust to God. And even if you fall asleep, how come? Because you already trust your problem to God, right? And God is your father. When you trust your problem to God, it becomes his problem. Then you can sleep. Right? If you don't trust your problem to God, then your problem is your problem. So that is a key difference, right? Yeah. Just like when you are a young child, 2-3 years, you're riding the bicycle in the yard. All of a sudden, there's a flat tire. What happened? You just tell your father, hey, father, the flat tire. Then you continue your praying outside. Then your father just thinking, I go to Walmart, go where to buy another tube to change a new one. It becomes your father's problem. Right? But if you tell your neighbor, nothing going to happen. Your neighbor has then nothing to do with you, right? So we have a father above. Trust God, then you can sleep well. If we don't trust God, you work hard, still a lot of problems. Psalm chapter 27. Wisdom itself is good, but it's not enough. We need to have blessing of God so we can really enjoy a good life. This is Solomon's three sorrow. And now we look into Psalm 90, the only psalm written by Moses, Psalm 90. A lot of people try to claim what? Autonomy from God. Right? I don't want to be too fervent. Do you know? If I'm too fervent, what happened? All my life been restricted by God. You should do this, you should not do that, right? So a lot of people, they don't want to be too fervent. They want to reclaim freedom for themselves. But if you look into Moses, after he lived the whole life, what is the conclusion? Lord, you have been our dwelling place, all generation. Lord means what? You are my master. You are in control. And I am waiting to be controlled by you. I am waiting to submit to your leadership. That means Lord, right? You have been our dwelling place for all generations. Not only I worship you, I want to be close to you, like a parent live together with the children. So I want to live in your dwelling place, the closest place with God. You look into Moses' mentality of life. He considered God as a master, and he wants to be close with God. So from the Psalm of Moses, written by Moses, you can know a lot. And verse 11, it's talk about reality of life. Reality of life. What is life? Verse 3. You turn man to destruction. I say, return, O children of man. Right? We will return to the dust. So human nature is nothing but dust. So the true value is not physical body. The true value is the soul deep inside the body. And then verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight, and like yesterday, life is transient, very short. Very short, and the life pass. Then verse 5. You carry them away like a flood, just like a Niagara Falls, right? The water keep on dumping, and once the water gone, it never come back. So life has no second chance. And in the morning, they like a grass which grew up. In the morning, it flourish and grew up. In the evening, it cut down and wither. So what does that mean? We have our so-called our prime time, right? But after we reach to the prime time, we start to decline. So we do have our own value. But our value reach to the prime time and start to decline. And one day nobody will recognize us. And that is fact. So nobody is going to recognize us. All right? This is a psalm written by Moses. Anybody know the name of your father? Of course, you have to know it, right? Who pay your tuition from your father's check, right? Anybody know the name of your father's father? Raise your hand. Oh, most of you still know, right? Okay. Anybody know the name of your father's father's father? Raise your hand. Nobody knows. It's only one. So you know, after three generations, older, we almost don't remember. Then you can imagine after three generations next, you know the son, right? You know the your son know you and your grandchildren know you. And then the children of your grandchildren don't know you anymore. Oh, this is a fact. The Bible already says so, right? Oh, this will be the fact. And then seven wishes from Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. It talks about seven wishes and prayer of life. And the first prayer is what? Give me the heart of wisdom. Oh. So you look into Moses' prayer. Give me the heart of wisdom. We always pray for something, but our prayer is so much different from the prayer of Moses. That we may gain the heart of wisdom. The second one, return, O Lord, how long have you compassion on your servant? Verse 13 is talk about what? Return means forgive us. Ask God to forgive us so he will return, turn his face back to us. Right? And verse 14, ask God to let us experience his love. And verse 15, ask God to comfort us. Verse 16, passing on our faith to the next generation. And verse 17, the beauty of the law. That means pursue the inner person's beauty, eternal beauty. That is the true value of a person. So, Psalm is a book of praise. It's a book of praise and very inspiring and can lift up our spirit and can really comfort us, give us a hope. So-called positive thinking in the biblical term means what? Put our hope to God. That's called positive thinking. Hold on the promise of God and pray for it. And that's called positive thinking. And it will be fulfilled, realized. So this is called Psalm. And then after Psalm is Proverbs. How many chapter book in Proverbs? 31. So it's about 1 month's portion. Right. Sometimes some people take a medicine, right? One day take one pill, right? And the book of Proverbs is just the pill of wisdom. One day, one pill, and you will become a very wise person. One day, one chapter. You keep on reading, right? Every day, read one chapter of book of Proverbs, and we will become a very wise person. Of course, wisdom can come from where? Trial and error. But it takes a long, long time, right? Trial and error. And sometimes, after we make an error, the consequence will linger a long, long time. But if we read the book of Proverbs, it will shorten that kind of trial and period. For example, Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountain be dispersed abroad, a stream of water in the street, let them be only for own and not for stranger with you. Let your fountain be blessed and enjoy with the wife of your youth. So what is this really talking about? It talks about love. You have to keep your love only to one person. Eventually the one you get married. Don't give love to a lot of people, become public lover. It's not good at all. Only be faithful to a person, the one you get married. And before you know that person, close your heart. Guard your heart. Wait until that person comes. And then that's called wisdom. And then in chapter 3, or chapter 2, chapter 2 talk about adulterous woman. Adulterous woman are very sweet, like honey. So we get in touch with this kind of person, you are hooked, and the painful consequence will linger lifelong. So the book of Proverbs gives a lot of wisdom. According to Proverbs, what the fear God means? The book of Proverbs, when you talk about fear God, the next sentence is what? Depart from evil. Okay. How come? All right. Am I a person fear God? If we fear God, it will depart from evil. That's called fear God. And the last chapter of book of Proverbs talk about a prudent woman. Nowadays, women are very capable, right? Sometimes more capable than brothers. According to statistics, those who study in graduate, women more than men. Sometimes women make more money than men, right? It's fine for women to be capable if they have the virtue of Psalm chapter 31, a virtuous woman. Even more capable is fine. But if no virtue and woman become very capable, then it's very difficult to handle. Create a lot of headache. So Proverbs, one chapter a day, and give us a lot of wisdom. And then we continue tomorrow to Ecclesiastic and Song of Solomon. Let's pray inside. Amen.